Dear friends, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A few months ago, my dad and my stepmother were getting ready to move. They were moving from their home in Bothell to where they live now in Post Falls, Idaho. And so they were downsizing so they wouldn't have to move everything they ever owned. And as they were downsizing, my dad in particular had a few things that he was setting aside that he thought maybe I would want. So before they left, I went down to Bothell to see this box of stuff that he had set aside for me. And one of the items in that box was a framed picture of my actual mother and him on their wedding day. It was a framed picture from their wedding. Now, my dad and my stepmom have been happily married for 38 years now. In fact, they just celebrated their anniversary on Thursday. But he still had this picture of my mom and dad's wedding day. He still had this tucked away. I think he wasn't quite sure what to do with it. And so he thought maybe he could pass it on to me. I think he still wasn't quite sure what he should do with it. So he offered it to me. Now, it was a beautiful, beautiful picture. Beautiful frame. The photograph is gorgeous. My 20-year-old mother looks stunning in her lacy white dress. My dad looks so young and sharp. They both look so very happy standing on the chancel steps of Bethel Lutheran Church in Seattle. They're staring out from the picture frame full of so much hope and joy and love. You can see it in their eyes. It's a beautiful picture, but seeing this picture was like getting a hit to the gut. I felt like he was being punched in the stomach to look at this picture, as beautiful as it was. It literally hurt to look at it. I could feel a twist in my gut. Seeing these two halves of my existence, who have been divorced now for 40-some years, was painful. It was painful because the love that brought them together and made me no longer exists. That picture is still there, but their marriage was shattered a long time ago, and there are still some jagged edges today. So it's hard to look at this picture. I wasn't quite sure what to do with it when my dad gave it to me. I thought about maybe trying to find a dumpster on the way home to get rid of it. But I couldn't bring myself to throw it away. It is part of who I am. And so I kept it. Still have it. In our first reading for today from the book of Genesis, God gives us a picture. God gives us a picture of what marriage is supposed to be. And it is a beautiful picture that God gives to us. We have Eve, the first woman created to be Adam's closest companion. Unlike all the other creatures that God trots before Adam, Eve would not be subservient to Adam. She would not be less than Adam. She was created to be Adam's partner. In fact, she was created out of Adam, taken from Adam's side. And you can see this in the way Adam reacts to her. He looks at her and says, "At last, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." Adam and Eve are literally made for each other. And so God says, "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." This is God's picture of what marriage is supposed to be. And there are details tucked into this picture that are profoundly important for marriages yet today. First of all, we see that marriage involves a radical reorientation in a person's life. It means leaving behind your father and your mother, your most important relationships, particularly in the ancient world. You're to leave those behind and become radically reoriented in that your spouse now comes first. Parents of adult married children, please keep this in mind as we come to the holidays just around the corner and they're trying to figure out where they're going to be on what date, and maybe they just want to be home. Remember, and give them space to put their spouse first. And kids, keep in mind that sometimes mom and dad need to go out and do fun stuff without you around. They need to put each other first. This is something we see in this picture of marriage God gives us. We also see that marriage involves a profound oneness. The two become one flesh. This is an obvious reference to the sexual relationship that a husband and wife share, which is sacred. It's not dirty, it's sacred. It's not dirty if you're doing it right. It is sacred, it is important, and it is a physical embodiment of these words. But this oneness that God calls married people to is not just physical. It is also a oneness that is emotional. As husband and wife are joined together as one, and they turn to each other again and again for support and for affection throughout all the ups and downs of life. This oneness is spiritual. As they stand together before God, as they pray together, as they reflect God's love and faithfulness to each other and to the world. And we also see in this picture of marriage that it is to be permanent. The two don't remain as two. They don't remain as tentative partners until circumstances change. They are joined together as one entity, as one flesh. They're to be joined together for the rest of their lives. This, in brief, is the picture God gives us of what marriage is supposed to be. And it's a beautiful picture, isn't it? It's a beautiful picture. We celebrate this picture. We celebrate these marriages that we see around us that reflect this picture, and rightly so. One of my very favorite things to see happen at wedding receptions is when the DJ invites all the married couples out onto the dance floor, and they're all out there and they're dancing for a little bit, and he says, okay, if you've been married 10 years or less, please go sit down. So a bunch of people peel off. If you've been married 15 years or less, please sit down. Then 20 years, and then 30 years, and then 50 years, and then 60 years, and then sometimes 65 years, maybe 68 years, until there's one couple left on the dance floor. The couple that has been married the longest. They have this easy grace about them that comes from a long and loving marriage. They're usually beaming with joy, just smiling to beat anything. Everybody's clapping and cheering for them. People are crying because what they are seeing is beautiful. They know that what they're seeing is holy. They know that what they're seeing is a picture of what marriage is supposed to be. But it doesn't always turn out so beautifully, does it? In our gospel reading, we hear the Pharisees test Jesus with a question about divorce. This is not a pop quiz that they're throwing at Jesus. They're not testing Jesus' knowledge. Everybody knew that the Mosaic law allowed for divorce in certain circumstances. There was a lot of intense debate as to what those circumstances were, what was a legitimate reason. There's a lot of debate in Jesus' time about that. And so the Pharisees are trying to lure Jesus into this debate. Even more, they're trying to lure him into controversy. They're trying to see how he would respond to this controversial question of the day. Because you see, going on in the background is the fact that Herod, the ruthless governor, had divorced his wife in order to marry his sister-in-law. John the Baptist was protesting this marriage out in front of Herod's palace, and he ended up being put in jail. Eventually, he ended up with his head on a platter. And the Pharisees are probably thinking, maybe we can get the same thing to happen to Jesus. Maybe we'll lure him into this question and he can have John's fate, right? Jesus, though, refused to get into a legal debate about divorce. Instead, Jesus lifted up this picture from Genesis of what marriage is supposed to be. First, Jesus says, from the beginning, God created them male and female. And then he quotes directly from Genesis 2:24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And then Jesus adds some words of his own as if to add an exclamation point. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. The Pharisees want to lure Jesus into a debate about what is legal. They want him to chime in on where the loopholes might be. Most of all, they just want to get him in trouble. But Jesus simply responds by lifting up this picture from Genesis of what marriage is supposed to be. Later with the disciples, Jesus gets a little more specific. He talks about divorce in detail. And he says that whoever divorces someone in order to marry another commits adultery. That is to adulterate the picture of what marriage is supposed to be. It tarnishes it. It tarnishes that picture. Now, Jesus, I think, is not necessarily talking about all remarriages after divorce. I think he might be saying that to leave one spouse in order to pursue someone else is a form of adultery. Just simply doing the paperwork to dismiss someone does not make it right. It does not make it right to abandon your spouse just because you filled out the right paperwork. In the midst of all of this, Jesus lifts up this beautiful picture of what marriage is supposed to be, a picture that St. Paul will return to in Ephesians when he's talking about marriage and he's encouraging Christian couples. He tells them their marriage is sacramental. Their love and faithfulness to each other is sacramental. That is, it reflects the mystery of Christ's faithful love to the church. Genesis 2:24 gives us a beautiful picture of what marriage is supposed to be. But as beautiful as it is, it can sometimes hit people like a punch to the gut. It can sometimes be painful to look at for all kinds of different reasons. For instance, maybe you're married, but your marriage is kind of a struggle. It doesn't look like the picture you're seeing here. There is no oneness physically or emotionally or spiritually. Maybe it's a struggle for you. Or maybe your marriage has ended. Maybe against your will. Maybe you were wronged and there's no safe or healthy way forward. Maybe you were the one that did the wronging. Maybe you sinned against your spouse and you have regrets about that. Maybe your parents divorced. Maybe your adult children divorced and you miss that in-law that you used to have and you have a strained relationship or a difficult relationship with your grandchildren now. Maybe you have lost your spouse to death and this picture reminds you of just how much you miss that precious companion. Maybe you're single and longing for that close relationship, and this picture just stirs up all that ache, all that loneliness. Or maybe you're single and you're content, you're perfectly happy being single, just like maybe Jesus was and Paul was. But maybe you hear all this marriage talk at church here and you feel like a second-class citizen. As beautiful as this picture is, it can be painful. But as painful as it might be, we cannot throw it away. It is part of God's word for us, spelled out for us in Genesis, lifted up by Jesus, taught passionately by St. Paul. As people of the word, as people who hold Scripture authoritative and normative, as followers of Jesus, this picture is part of who we are. And as Christians, we cannot throw it away. We can't throw it away, but we can put this picture alongside some other pictures. We can put it alongside the picture of the kingdom of God that we find even in the rest of our text for today, where Jesus compares the kingdom of God to that interaction he has with the children, right? The disciples are saying, go, shoo. And Jesus said, no, let the children come to me. And then Jesus says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. You can only receive it by being like these helpless children who bring nothing to the table. Salvation or entrance into the kingdom of God has nothing to do with your marital status or your marital history or how many anniversaries you have under your belt. It is all a matter of Jesus and his grace and his blessing and his forgiveness. You only receive it as a helpless child, knowing that you bring nothing to the table. Or we can place this picture of marriage alongside the picture of Jesus meeting with this woman who had been caught in adultery. Jesus refuses to condemn her. Instead, he forgives her and says, "Go and sin no more." We can place this picture of marriage alongside a picture of Jesus on the cross, where Jesus sacrificed himself for the sake of a world that was hell-bent on divorcing itself from Jesus, but found him alive and well just 3 days later. We can place this picture of marriage alongside the picture we have in Scripture of Jesus as the bridegroom and us, his church, as his bride. His precious, beloved bride, who he promises to love and cherish forever and ever and ever. Jesus is a fierce and brave proponent of God's picture of what marriage is supposed to be. But at the very same time, Jesus himself is a picture of God's love for all of us. His life, death, and resurrection is a picture of a love that never fails, even when we do. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please stand as we sing.